Chapter 8. My hands clasped my beautiful black-haired imp's shoulders, and I stared down into her wide, orange-colored eyes. Her plump lips curved up into a slight smile, and as I stared down at her, I felt my heart fight and hammer at my ribcage as if it wanted to escape. A silence fell over my women as all of us processed what the imp woman said, and finally, someone behind me spoke.
Pregnant?
Valerie squeaked.
Does that mean what I think it means?
Charles,
Ryan whispered, reached up and tenderly stroked my cheek.
You're going to be a father.
That word. Father. I'd never thought I'd hear it spoken to me. Sure, I'd been paid to bull an aristocrat more than a few times when money was tight, and I never knew if those encounters came to fruition. Even if they did, I didn't consider myself a father then. I was paid to do a service, and I never heard from those women again, so I never knew if they gave birth or their money was a waste.
You're going to have a child,
Edeny cooed.
Oh, Charles, this is so exciting.
How do you know?
Daisy asked.
How do you know that you're pregnant?
I have felt off for the past few days. No, the past few weeks. Certain smells would make me sick to my stomach, and the last few mornings I've woken up and thrown up. I didn't realize until today what was happening, and I only recognize these symptoms because my mother went through them so many times in the impdom. Charles, I'm pregnant.
Can you test it? Is there some way that we can confirm that she's pregnant?
You know what this means, Charles,
Cleia asked, clasped her hands to her chest and rocked back on her heels.
We're going to have the first monster baby. Oh, this is so exciting. Oh, I'm so jealous. I want one too. Charles, give me a baby too.
Me too? I want to be pregnant too, and have lots and lots of your babies, Charles. Impregnate me next.
I heard their requests, but I couldn't tear my eyes away from the black-haired beauty in front of me. I almost couldn't believe it. All of my life, I never imagined myself as a father. Sure, I'd been pumping my seed into each of my women every day, and I dreamed about having a wife and a few children. But the fact that it was happening right now in front of my very eyes blew my mind. I already had a family, my monster women, but it seemed that family was growing by one more, and it wasn't a woman I created in my machine. It was a new life that I'd created with Ryan.
I'm so excited, Charles.
Ryan breathed, took my hand, and pressed it to her lower belly.
We're going to have a child. It's a boy. I just know it. He's going to grow up and be big and strong and smart, just like you.
Charles! I want a baby, too!
You might already have one. I've been releasing my seed deep into each of your wombs. It takes a month or two before you begin to feel the symptoms.
So, we might be pregnant right now?
Daisy gasped. You and Val probably are, if Ryan is, I said, and threw my arms around the imp woman. Oh, Ryan, you've made me the happiest man alive. We still need to confirm it, though.
How will we do that, Charles?
Edeny asked. A form of a blood test, I replied, grabbed the black-haired woman by the hand and tugged her toward the laboratory. I'll use one of the machines I have in storage. It'll be perfect. The rest of my monster women trailed after us, but I couldn't help how excited I was. I was going to be a father. Not only that, but Ryan was an imp, and from my prior studies on the creatures, I knew that their gestation period was accelerated compared to other beasts. That could only mean one thing. Within a few short months, even weeks, our child would be born. It almost seemed like a dream. I almost couldn't believe that all of this was real. I'd created my monster women, and one of them, in a few short months, had already given me new life within her body. Now all I had to do was impregnate the rest of my monster women, and we'd have so many other babies. I imagined all of them in my head, popping up one by one, a cat baby, a bear baby, a nyx baby, a wolf baby, and a drake baby, all of them happy and healthy in the royal court of their father, the king. I wasn't in total control of our country just yet, but I had a feeling deep inside that I would be eventually. Now that I had a baby on the way, I was more determined to take over the kingdom. I couldn't let my child grow up in a world where men were third-class citizens, especially if it were a boy, as Ryan had said. I nearly kicked open the laboratory door, and the heavy metal clanged against the rock wall behind it hard enough to rattle a few items in the cabinets across the room.
"What the hell, Charles?"
A.B. shouted, and jerkily turned in his tank.
"Warn a guy before you do that. You nearly scared the spinal juice out of me. Maybe knock next time? You never know what I could be doing down here. Give a guy some privacy. It's not like I have my own room or private tubes I could use to float through the other rooms. Hint, hint, hint."
"Belay that, A.B.," I boomed. "We have more important things to attend to than your blathering."
Blathering? Well, excuse me. How would you like it if I just stopped talking altogether? What would you complain about then? Oh, there goes A.B. again in another one of his fits of silence. However will we get him to calm down? See, I don't think you'd like that very much, Charles."
I turned toward Ryan, grasped her by the hips, and gently set her down on the examination table. I paused for a second as I rubbed at my tired face and sighed before glancing over toward the brain's tank. "I'm sorry, dear friend. I didn't mean it like that," I murmured. "I'm just excited, is all, and I wanted to start testing as soon as possible."
"Excited? Excited for what? Are we finally hitting the road? Oh, I'm so ready, Charles. Give me 5 minutes and I'll have my tank packed."
Yes, we're leaving very soon. But that's not the reason I'm excited, A.B. Listen, we're having a baby."
"Well, that's fine and all, but..." "What? Charles, I don't know if you realize this, but I'm a brain. To add to that, I'm a boy brain. It is physically impossible for either of us to get pregnant. And let me tell you, if you implanted me in a woman's body, I would lose my ever-loving mind."
No. Not you, you dingus. We believe that Ryan is pregnant."
"A baby? A baby? Oh, Charles, this is fantastic! We're finally expanding the Rayburn line! At first, it was just the two of us. Two great brains just hanging out, inventing things and being brilliant. And now you're having a baby!"
"Wait," I chuckled and turned toward him with a raised eyebrow. "Do you think we're brothers?"
"Yes. Well, technically, we're not blood brothers, unless you count the time when you drew the blood from my brainstem and then injected some of your own to see if you could grow me a body, which, in this situation, we are. So, I guess if we're facetious, I am your brother. I'm going to be an uncle. Someone get me a tissue, I might cry."
"A.B.,"
Ryan giggled.
"You don't have eyes. If we gave you a tissue, it'd only get wet from the liquid in your tank."
"You don't have to be so literal about it, Ryan. I'm going to be an uncle. I've never received such a mighty title. Uncle A.B. Rayburn."
"So you've completely renounced the Norman part of your name?" I asked. "You do know that surnames are pretty important."
No. Norman isn't my real last name. It was a cruel joke from my past owner."
"Wait!"
Valerie paused as she stood in the doorway of the stairwell.
"What?"
Did you remember more of your past?" I asked, and held a hand up to stop myself. "You know what? We'll unpack all of that once we're finished with the test."
"Okay. But I can't guarantee that I'll remember by the time you finish."
"Yes, you will," I chuckled, crossed the room, and opened one of the cabinet drawers. "You love talking, especially about yourself, so I'm sure that you'll remember. Now, Ryan, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to draw blood."
"What? Why? Won't that hurt?"
"It won't. Charles drew my blood, and it only felt like a little pinch."
Charles...
The imp woman stammered. "It's all right, my love. I'm right here. And if it hurts too much, you can squeeze my hand, or I can stop. But this is the only way we'll know if you're pregnant or not."
"All right, Charles."
The imp woman squared her shoulders and held out her right arm.
"I was once a strong warrior princess. I think I can take a deep wound to the arm for the sake of our unborn child."
"It's not a deep wound," I chuckled, and plucked up the sterilized needle from the side table. "It's just this. I'll attach it to some tubing, take a sample of your blood, and then pop it into that machine on the counter over there. The entire process will be over within less than 4 or 5 minutes, though the machine takes a little bit longer than that."
"I will summon the spirits of my warlord ancestors, and they will give me strength during this trying time."
"Really, it's not that painful, I promise." I reached over to the small table beside me, grabbed a tourniquet, and wrapped the stretchy material around the imp woman's forearm. I grabbed a spare piece of cotton and held it in the palm of my hand as I prepared the needle and tubing. I held the pointed edge right over one of Ryan's bulging veins and then looked her directly in the eye. "Are you ready?" I asked. 1, 2, 3. The black-haired beauty closed her eyes tightly and winced, but hadn't realized that I already punctured her skin on 2 instead of 3. I tugged on the needle until it found the right spot, and scarlet blood flowed into the tubing, then down into the glass vial. "See?" I asked, and used my free hand to pet her onyx hair. "That's not so bad. And look, we're almost done. I only need about half a vial of your blood, and then I can pop it into the machine." With the vial almost to the halfway point, I grabbed a small bandage, readied the cotton, and pulled out the needle. I swiped away the tiny droplet of blood that formed there, and then pressed the dressing into place in one swift motion. The imp woman's orange eyes met mine, and her plump lips pursed.
"That was it?"
Ryan asked, and pressed her slim fingertips to the rough exterior of the bandage.
I thought it would hurt more than that.
"I told you it wouldn't hurt, didn't I?" I chuckled, snatched up the container of blood, and hurried over to a compact copper machine resting on the counter. I hadn't used this machine in a while, and I was pretty sure that the last time I did was when I tested Valerie's blood after I created her. I pressed the small lever at the machine's side, and it instantly thrummed to life with a little puff of smoke. The pistons at the top and back pumped to life, and I flipped open the cartridge intake with a soft snap. I poured in the vial contents, closed the cassette, and tapped twice on the larger blue lever.
"So, what does that do?"
Edeny asked and stepped forward to inspect the small machine. "It analyzes the blood," I explained. "Looks for any abnormalities or underlying diseases that haven't developed yet."
"Diseases?"
Ryan barked with a grin.
"What are you trying to say, Charles? Are you trying to say that I'm sick?"
"No, not at all, my love. Some diseases lay in wait in our blood and can only be tracked through that before taking control of our bodies. I used this machine for a long time tracking the diseases that the patients Edeny brought to me had. It seems that the jails where you kept them, Edeny, well, they festered with pestilence."
"I know,"
the Duchess breathed and lowered her head.
"I wish I had known what I know now, and I would have released them from that hell."
"But that's not all this machine can do," I uttered, and quickly changed the subject. "When I tested it on Valerie, it picked up the tiniest amount of my blood within hers, meaning that my blood is the reason that all of the experiments work."
"But didn't we already know that?"
Daisy asked.
"Well, we pretty much assumed it."
"But Charles confirmed it."
Edeny chuckled, leaned against the counter, and crossed her arms over her ample chest.
"You did?"
Ryan asked.
"Why didn't you tell us?"
"As Daisy said, we already accepted it to be the truth, but I had a hunch. I repeated the experiment with one of the cage aristocrats, but instead of my blood, I used Ascara's."
"And?"
Valerie sang.
"What happened?"
"What did you expect would happen?" I chuckled. "Do we have a new monster woman wandering around? It failed, and my blood is what makes the experiment work."
"We always knew you had magic somewhere within you,"
Cleia sighed.
"But who knew it was true? So what do we do about it?"
"There isn't anything we can do about it. We keep creating monster girls and marvel at the fact that I'm the first man to develop powers in all of history."
"But,"
the feline woman broke in,
"shouldn't there be a celebration? We should revel in this discovery."
"Aren't we? I spend every day with gorgeous and brilliant monster women that I created with powerful and potent blood. Doesn't that sound like a celebration? My brilliance is physically exhibited in all of you, and now one of my fantastic creations carries my child. Maybe even a son to carry on my lineage."
"I know,"
Daisy giggled.
"Boys and girls are equal in this world, remember? The child will carry on your line even if it's born female."
You are very right," I nodded, and turned back toward my machine as it made a low, thrumming sound. "I'm just astounded that all of this is happening. I never imagined that something like this would ever happen in my life. I used to daydream about a world where I could get married and have children, but in a world this cold, it was unattainable."
"And now you have it,"
Edeny breathed.
"All of us are your future brides, and we love you more than anything in this world, Charles. We'll do anything for you. Just ask. We'll do it."
"Unless it's scary,"
the feline woman piped up.
"Then I might need some coaxing."
The copper machine behind me whistled, and then the thrumming slowly died away to a soft clicking noise as it began to shut down. A long strip of white paper rolled out of the side, and I gently held onto it while it printed. I started reading the scientific symbols written out in black ink, and suddenly my hands dropped to my sides.
What's the matter? Am I not pregnant?
It seemed as if, in the passing time, I'd been playing at the notion of being a father and that it wasn't genuine. But looking down at this piece of paper, it was true. Ryan was pregnant, and in a few short months, I would be a father. It seemed solidified now that it was on paper, and I could no longer deny these feelings rushing through me so intensely.
It's true!
I shouted, turned, and raced across the room.
You're pregnant! We're going to be parents, my darling!
I grabbed her off the examination table and lifted her into the air with a spin. The imp woman threw back her head and guffawed heartily at the ceiling with her eyes squeezed shut. We knew going forward this would be hard, and we'd be traveling on the road with a child, but I did not doubt that we could do it. I already guessed that the imp's gestation period was accelerated, which only could mean that once the child was born, it wouldn't stop growing at an enhanced rate. By the time we reached the capital and attacked the queen, we may have an adolescent or even a teenager. But I'd yet to ask Ryan about any of this.
This is so exciting!
Valerie screamed and jumped up and down while clapping her hands.
When I get pregnant, do you think it'll be a single baby or a litter like a cat? Oh, I can't wait! I can't wait!
This does worry me, Charos,
Josephine uttered.
Do you think it's right to battle the queen while we're pregnant or after we've given birth? What if we hurt the babies?
Then we'll find a way to protect them. If they're too young, we'll have some of your sisters look after them while we fight. But if they're bigger and can fight, then they'll do so by our side. We can protect them if we keep them close.
Charos,
Cleia implored.
Can I get pregnant, too? I hate to ask, because it seems like I'm stealing the spotlight from Ryan.
What? No, my dear sister, have as many babies with my darling Charles as you want. Charles, I demand that you fill all of my sisters with your fertile seed this instant. Pull down your pants, bend them over the examination table, and get to it. I want this manor to be filled with babies before we set out for the next city.
Well, that might be a little difficult. We're leaving the manor tomorrow, so I guess I have to get work impregnating you all.
Tomorrow?
Daisy stammered.
What?
Josephine cried.
So soon?
Yes. I nodded and began to put away all of my medical instruments. We'll finish transforming the leftover aristocrats that Askara and his men captured while we're gone. Josephine, those will be the women in your Drake Legion. I expect you to take great care with them.
Yes, Charles. I will do my best for you, my love.
What about your machine?
Cleia asked.
We can't leave it here, can we?
I already have a solution for that. I've already dispatched someone to retrieve something like a caravan. I'll dismantle my machine and place it within one of those where we can use it later when we reach the next city. I have everything planned out, my dears. There's no need to worry about these things. We'll transform the rest of the aristocrats and leave Edenheart in our tracks. After we're finished tonight, you'll need to pack your bags and everything you think you'll need out on the road.
We're really doing this.
The bear girl giggled and then shook out her arms.
Ryan's pregnant and we're heading out onto the road. I can't wait, Charles.
We've waited for this moment for a very long time, I breathed, leaned my head back, and stared up at the ceiling for a long moment. Sometimes I feel as if I'm in a dream, and if I close my eyes for an instant, all of this will disappear. I've worked so hard to become the man, scientist and doctor that I am, but it feels as if all that can be taken away in an instant.
Don't think like that, Charles.
Daisy urged, hurried over, and draped herself over my shoulders.
We're here, and we're very real. We're not going to disappear, and you're certainly not going back to the life you used to live.
Thank you, I muttered. Thank you for always bringing me back to reality and grounding me when I need it. All of you are saints, and I don't know what I did to deserve you.
You didn't have to do anything, Charles.
Edeny breathed and pressed a soft kiss to my cheek.
You've suffered enough. I know for a fact, because I was one of those people who hurt you. But you gave me another chance. You opened my eyes and my heart, though I doubt my heart needed it since I was already in love with you.
You're everything we need, Charles. When we look at you, we see the country's future standing before us. You are everything we could wish for and more. We love you so much. Don't ever think those things again. We're your family now, Charles.
Ryan chuckled and stroked my cheek.
And that family is growing. We're not going to up and disappear one day. We're going to stand beside you and fight until our last dying day if we have to. You're the only man who has looked out over the corrupted world and thought that he could change it. I'm not saying there haven't been men who've tried, but we know the aristocrats too well. They're too powerful, and the only other people who can take them on are more women. You found the loophole, and you went right through it while creating us, your monster women.
All of us were horrible,
Cleia breathed.
I tried to kill you, or at least Clara did. Hortensia tried to put you in jail, and then attempted to murder you when she couldn't pin a crime on you. Delphine wanted you to be her consort, and she would have stopped at nothing until you were her object. Even Edenie. She threatened you constantly, but we've forgiven her. She's a different woman now, and even after explaining why she did all those things, we can at least understand why she did them. The only one out of us who hasn't tried to hurt or kill you was Josephine. But she's been an angel since birth. We all know in the back of our minds that we did these things, but we've cast them away. You made us new and pure the moment we stepped foot into your machine.
I don't think I'm a saint by any means, but I've seen the changes you've made in these women, Charles. I may not have received a new mindset when you transformed me, but I've witnessed so many experiments since I joined your family, and the women aren't just changed. It's like they've been purified. All of the past slights and hatred they once held in their hearts are gone. It's like they've been reborn, and as a witness to that, it's mind-blowing. I've lived and dealt with aristocrats my entire life. And you never get used to them when you believe something else. I tried to make a difference in the Harlot's Corps, but there's only so much that we can do without making a public stand against the other aristocrats. That's why I believe in you, and I've reached out to my Harlot comrades, and they will join you in battle. They believe in us, and they're more than willing to fight and die for the sake of peace among the people. What we're doing is real. And I want you to believe that. You have an entire army at your side, and as we keep moving, we're only going to collect more and more soldiers and monster women.
You're right. I'm sorry I doubted myself and all of you for a moment. All of you may have changed through the process of the transformation, but I changed too. I'm a different man. I'm your leader, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. No one will stand in our way, and no one will ever enslave another man in this country or another. Men are free under my decree, and we're one step closer to making that happen. Every man deserves happiness, love, and, most of all, freedom. And I'm going to give all of those things to them.